I might skip some stuff. I just would like to share with you a vision that I have for the church. You know, I thought this would be a good time when we have our annual meeting on that Sunday, just kind of make that a vision Sunday to share my vision for the church. I kind of do that in the annual meeting with my report, but I thought it'd be good to bring it before all of you today. And some of these things I'm going to be speaking about in greater detail in the weeks and months to come, but I kind of give you an outline here this morning, an overview of what I'd like to see happen and take place. So let's turn in our Bibles, first of all, to Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 60. Get it out yet? Maybe a drink of water will help. Chapter 56 and verse 7. I'm reading from the King James, and I'm going to pause at a couple places, and you just keep reading, all right? You read where I don't read. Would you fill in the blank? Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my... Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called... Okay, house of prayer for all people. That was a little weak, but we'll work on it. Let's pray. Father, we just are grateful today for this church, but not only for this building, but for the people that are here, the people that make up this spiritual building and this church. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help me to convey to them a vision which I believe that you have given to me. And that your Holy Spirit would just speak to each heart here. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to take the time this morning, but if we were to turn to Matthew 21:13, Mark 11:17, and Luke 19:46, you would find in all three of those Gospels that Jesus makes mention that his house is to be a house of prayer. Repeated three times in the Gospels, it must be important. It must be what he wanted his church, his house, to be. And I'd like to break down that verse in Isaiah 56 and verse 7. It was, we see the last line where the scripture says, "Mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." I'd like to break it down into three parts. First of all, we want to look at the words, a house. A house. The first mention of God's house in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 8. This is talking about Abraham here, and it says, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." Now, this is very important that you understand what Bethel means. Bethel means house of God. Beth, house, El, God. Bethel literally means house of God. And this is the first mention of an altar since Noah built an altar. Abraham built an altar, and can anybody tell me what he did at that altar? He builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Calling upon the name of the Lord is another way of saying that he prayed. He built an altar and he prayed at that altar. He called upon the name of the Lord. God's house is to be a house of prayer. The second mention of Bethel is in Genesis chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. "And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord." What did Abraham do there? He called upon the name of the Lord. In both of these instances, you will see that there was an altar, and you will see that prayer took place at this altar. My vision is to restore the altar, to restore the church as a place of prayer. The house of God is to be a house of prayer. The third mention of Bethel is found in Genesis 28. This is more of a lengthy portion that we can draw out some more truths from. In Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God, Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Jacob. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stones that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. The name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and I will and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." There's a number of things that church is that's represented here at Bethel. One of those things is that church is where the presence of God is. Church is where the presence of God is. And so you know that means that if two or three of you are gathered together in one place and God is there because you are believers, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, God is there. Wherever God's people are gathered, that's church. You notice the ladder here in this story. There's this ladder ascending from the ground up into heaven. The ladder is a type of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 51, Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You see, when Jacob was there, he had this ladder that angels were ascending and descending between heaven and earth. Jesus said, Now I have become that ladder. I am become that which connects heaven and earth. Then if the bottom of that ladder was on the ground and the top of that ladder was in heaven, the Holy Spirit has shown us once and for all that there is one mediator who will be able to bring people to God. There is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. A ladder to heaven must be a dirt ladder and a spirit ladder at the same time. And there is only one person who has ever showed up on this earth who could completely understand the human viewpoint and the divine viewpoint. Only one man could put a hand of dust in your hand of dust and at the same time reach up and grasp the sovereign hand of the God of the universe and draw them together. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ has done. He has reached down, and in his humanity, he has touched us. He has taken hold of us. But with his other hand, he has reached up with his divinity, and he has taken hold of God, and he has brought us together. He has brought reconciliation. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So what we needed was a highway that began where Adam began, in the dirt, and gone through towns that Adam drove through, like pain, sweat, tears, sorrow, disappointment, death, but ends at the gates of the New Jerusalem without a detour, washout, dead end, or curve. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the road. I am the way to heaven. All other roads lead to hell. Jesus is the only way. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the only ladder a person will ever climb to get to heaven is the ladder of Jesus Christ, the ladder who was the Son of Man, dirt, and the Son of God, spirit. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. By the way, did you notice that the angels were ascending before they were descending? Which means that Jacob had some help along the way. He had some protection. He had some angels, and he wasn't even aware of it, but they were there with him. Same is true for us. We have angels who are with us on our journey through life. These angels ascend and descend to heaven and back. But we need to be aware of their presence. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Well, I think if the Lord showed up, we'd know it, wouldn't we? But Jacob didn't realize it. But you know, the Lord can be in the world and the world not know it. In John chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, he was coming to the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The Lord can be in the temple, and the priests not know it. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. The Lord can be in the temple of the body of a person, and the person not know it. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You know what? The Lord could even be in the church and the people not know it. Because he's not working the way we think he should work. He's not doing what we think he should do. But nonetheless, he's here. He's here. What we need is not just to pray for the presence of God, because that prayer is already answered. God's presence is here. What we need to pray for is the manifest presence of God. That God would manifest himself, that God would not only show up, but show himself to be alive and working in our midst. So my vision is that God would reveal himself to us. And I think that he will reveal himself the more we exalt Christ. I have been challenged in my preaching. I don't know if you've noticed any difference or not, but I've been challenged in my preaching to preach more of Christ. Because he's everything. Without him, we have nothing. Why we even have church? You know, one preacher told me one time, well, the more it gets closer to Easter, the more I preach about Christ. And that struck me funny. What do you preach about the rest of the year? And another evangelist said, you know, I've traveled all over, and churches seem to preach about everything except Christ. I want to bring us back to Jesus Christ. Find the answers in him. I want us to be aware of his presence. He is here. We need to recognize it. In Genesis 28:17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the gate to heaven. This is where an unworthy sinner who was a coward, who is backslidden, met up with the grace of God. Oh, man, we've got to get people to come. Backslidden, without God, without hope in this world, and teach them and show them that there is a ladder, that has reached out to touch them in their humanity, who has died for their sins and wants to bring them into a relationship with Almighty God. The ladder, the gate, the house, the stone, they're all types of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the straight gate. He's the door in Matthew 7:14 and John 10. He's the house and the builder of the house, according to Hebrews. Jesus is the smiting stone, and he's the stumbling stone, as we were talking in Sunday school this morning, the discussion about, you know, you can pray today, but don't use the name of Jesus. You know, that's where it's coming to now. It's okay if you pray in public places, but don't use the name of Jesus. In fact, they're telling chaplains in the military, you can pray for people, but you can't pray in the name of Jesus. And why are Christians being the ones that are singled out? Because Jesus is the stumbling block to some. He's a rock of offense to some. But he's also the only way. And that makes us intolerant, narrow-minded, amen, and all of those other things. Which, amen, which I'm glad to be. Because that's what the Lord teaches us. He's also the stone that Jacob set up, because the stone was the anointed. Jesus is the anointed of God. Setting up a rock for a pillar and then anointing it has been a symbol of sure and firm salvation for which God approves. I need to move quickly here. Bethel is a place of the Father's blessing. Church is a house of blessing. Do you know that, tragically, many people today are trying to earn God's love? Could I tell you, you don't have to earn God's love. He already loves you. He already loves you. Instead, what you need to do is declare your commitment to him so that he can bless you. What we need to seek is not the love of God. What we need to seek is the blessing of God. And God will bless us as we put him first. And church should be a place where we can impart blessing to each other. Jacob was a places great value on the blessing of God. Here I'm going to skip through a lot. Church is a house to bring our tithes to. He makes this deal with God. Offers to give him a tenth. And then the church is more than a building. It is mobile temples. The New Testament calls it the household of faith. See, again, church happens when two or three are gathered together in his name. Church happens when a couple prays together. And you know, I'm convinced that people don't want to attend church, they want to be church. And that's where I want us to get. That's where I want us to be, that we are these mobile temples. We come here to this church where we're fed, where we're encouraged, where we have fellowship, where we're strengthened, where we're empowered, but then we go out carrying the power of Christ with us into the communities in which we live, into the workplaces to which we go. God wants living, breathing tabernacles to carry out his presence. And I want our place to be a place where we can get organized and be sent out to do that, to carry out his presence. You know, God's focus is not on holy places. God's focus is on holy people. And when holy people get together, that becomes a holy place. Our focus is going to be on how we can be these mobile temples and how we can be a holy people to make holy places. This to be a house. Jesus said it shall be a house, but not just any kind of house, and not just these things that we've talked about here, but specifically a house of prayer, which means we have to strive to be in one accord. Have affirming testimonies of the message or the Sunday school class. Affirming testimonies. because those testimonies demonstrate that we are in one accord. There is power in an assembly when we are all speaking the same thing. Satan's number one task in the church is to bring division. We need to be aware of that, and we have to work hard to keep it from happening, to stay in one accord. Just one verse here, Acts 5, verse 24 and 31. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They lifted up their voice with one accord, which is the next thing that we need to do in church. It's a part of praying. It's crying out. It's earnestly entreating the Lord's help together with one voice, with one heart, in one accord. This is not just to be a house of prayer, however. It's not something that we are to keep for ourselves. It is to be a house of prayer for all people. That we would be light in our community. Could you real quickly, would you just turn to the book of Matthew? Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candlestick and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you know where the location of our new church is? Have you stood out there and looked out to the north, south, east, and west? We're sitting on a hill out there. It's one of the highest places, I'm told, in St. Croix County, maybe the second highest place in St. Croix County. We have a great opportunity to be a light. And my vision, my goal, is that we would be a lighthouse out there. We'll be a house of light in our community. And that this house of prayer for all people would bless all nations with God's love through prayer and by doing good works, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That we would demonstrate kingdom living and power, which is the theme of Christ's teaching, by the way. And the secret to Elijah's great power was not in his prophesying, wasn't in his preaching, it was in his praying. He was a man of like passions as we are, but he prayed earnestly, and God heard him. And then to be able to prepare a spotless bride. There are a lot of things that I have going through my mind, of things that I want to do and things that I want to try. And I'm excited about those things, and I know that some things will work and others probably won't work. Some will be God's dreams, some might be my dreams. God's dreams will win. I hope. No, God's dreams will win out. But I want to be committed to being His church at this place, this location that He has placed us. And to be faithful to serve Him. And I just want you, beg you, to join me, and let's work together to see this happen. You know, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Who knows what God has in store for us? In my pastor's report this morning, I make a comment that the best is yet to come. And I believe that the best is yet to come. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we don't know how everything is going to work out yet. But it is comforting to know that it will work out and that you have a plan. And Lord, it is our desire to follow that plan. It's our desire to be holy people, mobile temples, that you could place us in different strategic places, that you could help us cross the paths of those who are hurting and need our help. Lord, we realize it's not by our power, but it's by your Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come and your Spirit would fill each of these temples here today, not just this building, but each life and each heart. Lord, help us to be of one accord, of one mind. And then, Lord, shake this place with your manifest presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Kyle is coming to share some things for the youth group to invite you to the spaghetti dinner, talk about their trip. Bless you, Kyle.
On. There we go.
Well, good morning, everybody, I guess. We've been downstairs preparing a meal for you guys as the youth group and a couple of us older guys that are kind of in charge of all the youngsters down there. But we're doing this because we, as Pastor said, are mobile temples. We are going to go out and we're going to make a difference in some people's lives this summer. And we're doing that through a missions trip. And we're going with an organization that's very close to my heart. It's called Book of Hope International. And what we do is we partner with the local churches in the countries that we go and minister. And we work in the public school systems, distributing God's word and talking to the students one-on-one. And we only go to countries that the government actually asks us to come and go and work with. So this is all above the shelf. It's all above reproach. You know, I mean, we're going into to nations that are potentially Muslim nations, some of them. But this summer, we're going to El Salvador in August. And this trip is open to anybody in the church. We have a few of us signed up so far, like six of us. But we would like to get as many people going as possible. And it doesn't matter if you're 85 or, you know, I mean, we've set the age limit. The youngest that we would like to have is 15 years old. But I mean, if you're an older person in the church, if you're an elder, you know, that's great. I want to see as many people excited about this. I want to see people that want to actually go and make a difference in the lives of people. And you know, this summer is an awesome opportunity for you guys to really to do what Pastor said. In Matthew chapter 28, the last couple of verses is the Great Commission. Jesus tells us to go out and to make disciples of all nations. Granted, we're supposed to start here at home, but then we're supposed to go out, you know? And that's when we're going to see the Great Commission fulfilled. We got to start within our local church. We got to start within ourselves, in our workplace, and then we go out from there. And it's been about 5 years since the trip has had an organized trip open to the congregation. And I think it's time that we get back to that. Missions is a part of Christianity. It's a part of what God has called us and asked us to do. And right now I'm going to show a little video just about, it's a guy named Dima, and he's a Russian student that was in a school in Russia, and he saw a presentation by students from America. And he ended up becoming a Christian, and now he wants to be a missionary to China. So there's no subtitles, which I apologize. And he kind of speaks in a broken Russian accent, but it is in English. So just try to listen, and may this just really bless you guys.
and you want to follow the country, you want to follow your leaders. But when you see that the economics is bad, it's going to be worse, and politics is not that good, you feel yourself frustrated because you want to find a place whom you want to be, but you feel that you don't have any foundation. You just need to go somewhere and don't know where. I would take all young people that I know. I would say that about 70% of them, they know what it means to live in the family where parents receive alcohol. I cannot name any family that couldn't have this baby. I remember it was at this school when our director, she told us that we need to move to the hall because some Americans are going to come and they are going to share something with us. And I remember they were sitting at the stage and they were sharing about Christ. But I remember the Book of Hope that they gave to us. I went home from the school and I began to read it. And they announced that we can go to the special meetings at the stadium. And they were sharing Christ, and I began to listen to what they are saying. I remember when Bob Hoskins, he asked all the people that want to receive Christ to come forward, I was one of them. I'm quite a logical person, and I wanted to know, is there God or not? And I had a great list of questions, and I was asking them why this and why they had so many baskets in the wilderness, where they have found them. And I had a lot of stupid questions, but actually what I can say is that I was fighting with God somehow. I wanted to be sure that he exists. And then when the Bible appeared to me so logical, very natural for our lives, something very, very close to us. Bible answers all our questions. I was glad. Even more important than logic, it was God's love. It was a special moment when I understood something about God's love that it's higher than my logic, than my understanding. Something about the nature of God. The father of my father was alcoholic, and my father was alcoholic. So I would be a problem, I would be alcoholic. My destiny is completely different from the destiny of my father and my grandfather. My destiny is equal to the plan of God that he has for my life. I pray for me to fulfill all he has for me. I don't believe that the China is closed. It's not closed at all. When you see the child that is dying in the water, what you would do, you would say, oh, I need to wait for the Spirit of God to come for me to save him. No, you need to run and do just all you can. God gave you many confirmations that he's going to send me to China. I'm going to be useful with his hands to serve others. Now that a lot of Americans, they are sitting at their homes and they are talking just about something. Where, just how to spend our money and just what kind of furniture we need to buy. This is nonsense. This is nonsense. I'm grateful for every American that were here, even those that came to the school and they were sharing the gospel with us. If they wouldn't come, I wouldn't be here now, sitting here. So I'm very grateful. My life was in your hands, and one day somebody gave some money, I don't know how much it was, but you gave some money for a boost of life, and somebody gave me a Bible, and I'm So I'm so glad that God is at my heart. That was the greatest gift that somebody gave to me. But I'm not different from any other child in Russia or any other country. I'm just the same. And now many people came to Christ through my life. I don't know how many, I didn't count them. So you need to know that even small thing that you do now, it will affect thousands or probably millions of people. Don't be afraid. Just take all you have. I don't call it to sell all of your furniture, but it would be a nice idea. And so just give your money for children to be saved all over the world. As soon as we do it, Jesus will come.
Pretty much sums it up. What price can you put on somebody's soul? This summer, we have the opportunity to affect thousands of students' lives. And you can be there, you can be a part of it. And if you don't want to go, if you don't want to be a part of it, at least partner with us. We're not taking an offering this morning or anything like that. But there's a dinner prepared for you by the youth. And we would ask that you guys please donate something financially if you can. If you can't, that's great. We want you to enjoy our meal. But partner with us. Partner with us in prayer. If you can with your finances, that's awesome. God will bless that. And I thank you already. But, you know, it's fulfilling the Great Commission. And there's a table set up in the back if you guys want a little bit more information. I'd be happy to talk with any of you. And I know some of your students, some of your children are interested in going. Some of them are already signed up to go. And I think that's great. But if you guys are interested in wanting to find out a little bit more of what it is, what we do, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And basically what the book is, it's a combination of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and part of Acts, sharing the life of Jesus. And it talks about relevant topics that are relevant to the students in their different age groups. There's a ton of different books that we pass out to different age groups. But we do it in a relevant way through drama, through different different presentations, always using our own personal testimony. Because, I mean, sure, you can shrug off a song, you can shrug off a skit, but if it's somebody that's sharing their own personal life story, that's something that's real, that's something that's tangible, that you can't argue with, you know? And we do this all partnering with the local church because we know if we go only for like a week, week and a half, and then we leave, somebody still needs to be there with those students. Somebody still needs to be there with those people that actually become Christians. And so we do this all through the local church with their help because we want to see them discipled. We want to see them plugged into a local church because we don't just want to go down there, do our little thing, feel good about ourselves, and then walk away. Because we want to see people's lives change for eternity. And as Dima said in that story, you know, he's affected. He doesn't even know how many lives. But it's just the small decisions we make every day. They're going to have that ripple effect that goes on. And nobody's going to know what kind of impact they had in this life until we get to the next. So this morning, if you guys can give, give. And give generously, please. Because we want to see this money go towards a good cause. We want to see this money change people's lives. And we want to, ultimately, we want to see this change the students' lives in our own